Let's pray for God's help as we come to his word. Father God, we pray that by your Spirit, you would open our ears, move in our minds, warm our hearts, that we may understand, believe, and obey what you have for us this afternoon. Amen. Need that in a tick. Scapegoating. That's one of our themes for this afternoon. Scapegoating. What is a scapegoat in the English language? Well, in the Batman film, don't know how many of you are going to come with me on this, in The Dark Knight, there is a district attorney, Harvey Dent, who is brave enough to heroically stand up to the corruption in the city. People are nearly overcome by darkness and evil, but one man was brave enough to stand up and stand out, to challenge the evil and bring hope. But then, through being caused to suffer by the enemy, he gets corrupted himself, doing bad deeds before he dies. But then Batman takes the blame for those bad deeds done by Harvey Dent, so that Harvey can still appear a hero, giving hope to the city against that evil. Batman then is declared a criminal. He's cast out. No, he has offered himself as the scapegoat. Punishment taken. Batman has been cast out. Problem dealt with. The bad thing receiving justice. There's no further investigation. Everyone covered by it declared. In Batman fan, let's try a slightly more real-life version. Wrong. In ways, God says, okay, you won't have me or the good things I have for you or the life I provide. If you come into my presence, you will die. So in the tabernacle, over here in this sort of room here with the kind of glowy bits in the Holy of Holies, the symbol of God's presence was always cut off from everything else by this thick curtain. Outside is the court where people could come, and then there was a bit where the priests could operate. But then God was, his presence symbolized was behind this thick curtain which no one could go through. God gave certain rituals which were needed before you could approach, but only certain people, the priests, and never into the Holy of Holies. Apart from on one particular day of the year, one high priest could come into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 16, it describes this day of atonement. Atonement is a funny word, but if you break it down, it means at-one-ment. It was a day when God and the people would come together. A day still celebrated by Jews as Yom Kippur, the 8th and 9th of October this year. On this special day, the high priest needed animal sacrifices for his own sins. He'd wash his clothes to show that he needed this new start. And he would bring animals for the people, the community. One would be a present of friendship, a meal to be shared, but first a sacrifice to make atonement of two male goats. So we come back to our goats. One goat was a sin offering. It was killed and its blood sprinkled. The other goat was the scapegoat, literally a goat that goes away. And this goat was presented alive before the Lord. The sins of Israel were confessed over its head. And then the scapegoat was sent away out of the camp into the wilderness. The man who took it there had to, before he could come back, had to wash again and wash his body. The sacrifice of the first goat showed that sin, rebellion, leads to death. And so death has to happen to deal with sin. The scapegoat taught that these wrongs had been dealt with and taken away, and there are no longer consequences to face. Punishment taken, problem dealt with, everyone covered by it declared innocent. Now, God's people kept making a mess of their relationships, ignoring God and hurting others, and these sacrifices had to be repeated year after year. But that was then. Surely we've moved on. Things are different now. We're much nicer people, aren't we? Well, we come to our second phrase for this afternoon. Nothing new under the sun. Let me take you back to Elvis. He died a tragic death at a young age, and lots of people mourned. And then the death conspiracies started pouring in. Was it murder? Was it suicide? did aliens abduct him for greater things? Or maybe, just maybe, he's still alive today. Fans claim to have spotted Elvis all over the world. It turns out that death conspiracies are not a modern thing. Alexander I of Russia, he was a popular emperor, celebrated for defeating Napoleon. In 1825, at the age of 47, he felt ill with a cold, which became typhus, and he died. And to this day, there are conspiracy theories surrounding his death. There are various reasons he might have wanted to disappear. One of his brothers took over the role of emperor, and rumors swirled that he'd faked his death to become a monk called Fyodor Kuzmich and live out the rest of his life. When his wife died a year later, the rumors swelled again, with some insisting she faked her own death and become a nun alongside her husband. In 2015, handwriting experts determined that the handwriting of Alexander and the monk Fyodor could have been the same man. Another death conspiracy. Nothing new under the sun. I'm sure we all know various examples of that, where we see things repeating themselves again and again. Well, nearly 3,000 years ago, in a book called Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, the writer wrote, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. And there is nothing new under the sun." This wise philosopher, writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, he looks all around at areas of work and play, food and frivolity, love and life, and comes to the conclusion over and over again, nothing new under the sun, nothing new under the sun. And if we're realistic, isn't that still true today? If you look at the state of the world, we think of country against country, political party against political party, you, me, we still ignore God's ways. We act in selfishness instead of love. We spoil our world and our lives. There is nothing new under the sun. We still make a mess of our relationships. We ignore God and hurt others. And a day will come when we will face God to give an account of how we have used the life he has given us. He knows our every deed, our every secret thought, our every hurtful word. We still need God to provide a scapegoat for us. And that is what Jesus did on the cross. Offering his blood, his death for our sins, and being the scapegoat, taking the sins away to the cross outside the city walls. He was sinless, yet he willingly went to that death for us. Punishment taken, problem dealt with, everyone covered by it declared innocent. Now, the animal sacrifices had to be repeated yearly, and all the weekly regular sacrifices reminded the people that more needed to be done. The death of an animal was never enough. It was a mark of God's kindness to accept the sacrifice and be present with his people. But he remained behind that curtain. The goat was never enough to finally deal with a problem. But here is the glorious Son of God, offered in our place. And nothing needs adding to or repeating about his sacrifice. It is once for all time. You remember when Jesus died, one of the things that happened was that curtain in the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. God's presence amongst his people through Jesus' death. And it covers you for all time. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done in the past, Jesus' sacrifice is enough. For the present, it gives us confidence to enter the presence of God. Let me read those verses we had from Hebrews again. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." Do you hear that language from the Old Testament? He has broken the way through the curtain for us. And we can be certain, we can be sure of the presence of God in our lives. And for the future, the writer continues, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And all the more as you see the day approaching." It's a certain hope of life with God forever. And so we should encourage each other. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. These meetings where we come together as church, or when Christians meet together other times, they're vital times to encourage each other in what Jesus has done for us. Our sure and certain hope for the future, dealing with whatever we've done in the past, and our access to God now. So what will happen on that last day if we trust in Jesus' death in our place, taking away the consequences of sin? Well, we come to our third phrase, the twinkling of an eye. And I think it's time for a bit of science here. I'm not sure what the twinkling of an eye is, but maybe it's about light going backwards and forwards through our eyes. Our eyeball is about 2.2 centimetres deep. The speed of light is about 3 times 10 to the 8 metres per second. So the overall time to twinkle, going backwards and forwards, is 7.333 times 10 to the minus 11 seconds, or 0.07 nanoseconds. I'm sure you're very excited by a bit of science. It's a very, very short time, almost immediately. I wasn't quite sure whether this was quicker or slower than a New York second. I don't know if you've come across the idea of a New York second. It's the time between the lights in front of you changing from red to green and the guy behind you beeping his horn. It's that short a time. It's very fast. It's immediately. And it comes first in the Bible, this phrase. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Paul is writing to those who trust in Jesus about a renewing. No more suffering, illness, weakness of any kind. Instead, power, glory, imperishable, in the twinkling of an eye, immediate. The promise on offer here takes away even our fear of death. Jesus, in his death, offers himself on your behalf to take the blame, the punishment, the consequences of your failings and wrongdoings, and offers you instead a confident standing as a child of God and a certain promise of eternal life. Imagine facing the biggest exam ever. All your life hangs on this and you need to hit 100%. And you just know you're going to lose marks here and there. Then suddenly it's taken away. The perfect student has sat it. They've got full marks. They've dealt with it. And they've put your name on the top. You have a perfect result. And if that sounds unfair, it is. It is God's choice to offer himself in Jesus for you out of his love. So what are you going to think this afternoon as we think about these verses? First of all, God is there for you, wanting to be present in your life, like that tabernacle was a picture of, dwelling in your heart. And there's nothing new under the sun. People are always people. Our lives are spoilt, mucky. They go wrong. So maybe we need to be realistic and think about an area of our lives where we have gone the wrong way and to ask God for God's help in that. And then there's the offer of a scapegoat in your place. In the Old Testament times of animal sacrifice, it was obviously a choice between you or the goat to face death. Or you or the goat to face being cast out. You would make sure it was the goat that was in place. Well, Jesus offers himself as that perfect scapegoat, a holy substitute to take away your sins and face the consequences for them. We want to make sure that Jesus is in place for us. If this is the first time you've heard this, or you want to ask more about it, please speak to someone. Speak to me, speak to someone on the team, speak to someone you've come along with this afternoon. Ask your questions. Ask someone to pray with you, maybe. Christianity Explored is a course that we regularly run here at St. Mary's. It'll be starting again shortly after Easter. It's a chance to read bits of Mark's gospel together about the good news of Jesus and find out for ourselves what Jesus said, what he did, and ask any questions. We don't pray, we don't sing. We just come to what Jesus said, what he reveals about himself, and ask any questions about these things. There's nothing new under the sun. We're not morally perfect. We're not even improving generation to generation. We fail. We let ourselves down. We think and do and say things which would heartily embarrass us if others found out. And God knows. So here is an offer which is well worth checking out properly. A small boy was consistently late coming home from school. His parents warned him one day he must be home on time that afternoon. But nevertheless, he arrived later than ever. His mother met him at the door and said nothing. At dinner that night, the boy looked at his plate. There was a slice of bread and a glass of water. He looked at his father's full plate and then at his father. But his father remained silent and the boy felt crushed. The father waited for the full impact to sink in. Then he quietly took the boy's plate, placed it in front of himself. He took his own plate of meat and potatoes, put it in front of the boy, and smiled at his son. That boy grew to be a man and said, "All my life, I've known what God is like by what my father did that night." God came into the world in the person of Jesus to offer himself in your place. Punishment taken, problem dealt with, everyone covered by it declared innocent. The promise is this: if you turn from living for yourself and turn to live for him as king of your life and the savior you need, then on that last day, as you face God to give an account of your life, Jesus will stand in your place. And in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be renewed with your loving Father God forever. Amen.